But no one can do it themselves. You have to have a team. And where artists go wrong is that they think they need a manager off rip. As soon as they go to the studio, cut a record, hey, man, I need a manager. What am I managing? Oh, wait, wait.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want me to do all the work?
Yeah, facts.
No,
facts.
My friend. I can manage if you give me something.
Hey, what the name of this show?
I Talk Great.
I Talk Great.
Is your hair thinning and not growing back to its fullest potential? Well, let me refer you to the Action Hair Care products, right? Angie and her daughter, Allie, has 21 plus years of experience, and they specialize in hair growth products, customized hair color, deep moisturizing treatments, and updated hair care routines that are natural and cruelty-free. So if you don't want to end up like me, let me tell you what you do. They're going to promise to give you the best experience for full potential for hair growth, right? So get your papers and pens out right now, and I need you to head over to www.actionhaircareproducts.com. I'm going to say it again, www.actionhaircareproducts.com. And if you're local and you're in the area, you can head over to Deco Drive Beauty Supply in Miramar Parkway, Florida. Also, LA Beauty Supply in North Lauderdale, Florida. White Diamonds Beauty in Fort Pierce. So if you're in that area, head out there to White Diamonds Beauty. And Glam's Beauty Supplies in Port St. Lucie. So let them know Mr. Williams from I Talk Great sent you. Now back to the episode. Yeah. Y'all already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams, I Talk Great, where we talk about the gray areas of business because it's never just black and white. I got a heavy hitter in the building today, Julian Booth. How you doing, man?
Man, much appreciated for having me. Thank you.
Yes,
much.
Of course. Man, I'm not even going to front, right? I was doing my due diligence online because, right. You know, I got a thing for Amara La Negra.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was like, man, who works with her? And I Googled manager, PR, and your name popped up.
Yep, I'm sure it did.
Yeah. Like right there. I was like, okay. I was like, who this cat? Let me go in. I was like, okay, this man been doing his thing.
Yeah, man, I've been blessed enough to been in Miami for, you know, I was born in Jamaica, but I moved here when
okay.
I was 10.
Yeah, yadi mani.
Yeah, exactly. And I've just been working in the field, man, ever since out of high school.
Okay.
So I've just been blessed to be around just incredible mentors like mm-hmm. Uncle Luke. And I started actually working for Jermaine Dupri's father.
Really?
Crazy enough. Yeah, I started there as an intern and I was going to college and I got my AA, but then he offered me the opportunity to come and intern for him. And I started learning a lot of stuff on the management side. And then Luke stole me. He was like, yo, man, because he was being managed by the company that he was working for.
Yeah.
And I used to go by there all the time, and he just like, man, you just got great energy. And mm-hmm. Good energy, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you want a job? And I'm like, man, let's do it. And Luke was my idol at the time because
okay.
I was in school for music, and back then Luke was just the king.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, was, of course.
He's still the king. But at that time, it was everything Luke Records.
Wow. So yeah. You was working, you was interning for Jermaine Dupri.
Right.
Right. So how was that experience?
It was great because it was very, I got to understand the management side of the business.
Mm.
But what was amazing about, it was a company called Entertainment Resources, RIP Philip Calloway, who was yeah. one of the partners, and Jermaine Dupri's dad, who was a great guy. They were able to show what a management company should look like because they ran it like a label.
Okay.
But it was management. But every artist that they had Arrested Development, they had Crisscross, they had JD. They had such incredible talent that it was such, and at the time, they were the biggest management company there was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, next to like Violator and everybody else.
Okay, so Violator, damn, you're going all the way back.
Man, listen, that was the golden era, so yeah. I was happy to have learnt under those guys. And then I went to Luke, which was a whole nother experience.
But how did that process amazing. Happen? Like, you was with Jermaine Dupri. How did Luke find you?
Well, I used to go to his office. So I would go to his office, drop off contracts, and he used to just see me all the time. So I used to come, say, hey, you know, Philip needs you to sign this, or so-and-so needs you to sign this. And he's just like, yo, what do you do? And I'm like, whatever it takes. And he was like, hey, I'm going to give you a job, man. I like your energy.
So he gave you a job. You wasn't interning.
No, he gave me an actual job.
Okay.
Yeah. I was interning for Jermaine Dupri's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for Luke, he actually hired me.
Was that in Atlanta you was working with
Jermaine Dupri? No. I've always been in Miami. Funny enough, his company was based here in Miami because I think his partner lived here and his family was here. So I was lucky enough that the company was here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who'd you kind of like grow up listening to?
Oh, man. I'm a straight hip-hop kid. NWA.
Even coming from my yard?
Yeah. I mean, well, in Jamaica, funny enough, hip-hop wasn't even big then, mm-hmm. right? So it was like Michael Jackson. I was into like rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, obviously dance hall. That's always going to be my first love in reggae.
Yeah.
But we used to listen to like American music, but hip-hop wasn't even that big yet. I missed the kind of the LL Cool J. It was happening, but it just wasn't happening big yet. Okay.
All right.
So once I got here, though,
uh-huh.
that was like when NWA dropped and like all of those stuff dropped. And I was like, yo, to the point where when they used the word nigga, I was so confused.
Because really? Because
in Jamaica, you know, just in my circle, I never used that word. Yeah. It was only when I came up here, I started really hearing it. And I'm like, niggas with attitudes. And it was just so raw.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about cassette tape, and I was like, yo, this is crazy. And then as the years progressed, me and my little friends, we had a group, and that's kind of like how I just got started in the industry.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell? You want to get your brand out there to the world? Well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you. I Talk Gray, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But hear what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. Okay, so you said you had a group. So was you a singing? Because you sound like you know how to sing, or you sound like you know how to do something.
Let me tell you something. You can catch some footage with me jumping up and down, doing my little Diddy dance.
Okay.
So because back then, you know, I wanted to rap. I didn't come into the game as a musician, and I'm not a rapper.
You see, being honest.
I'm not trying to say I'm dropping my album anytime soon.
Spit a quick 16.
Yeah, I ain't spitting no 16s. Now, if you catch me drunk on some freestyle stuff, you might catch me at a right moment.
But yeah.
For the most part, man, I fell in love with the business. So even with my little group, a manager found us at a talent show.
Okay.
And I was watching him move, and I was like, yeah, I like how he moves. He was on the phone. He's making deals for us. And we didn't get anywhere, but it was just, I was watching him in motion. And I'm like, man, this is what you do for a living? And he's like, yeah, you know, I manage groups and this and that, even though I don't even remember his name, but I remember the essence of what he did. And I was like, I want to do that.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it all started.
So what did Luke actually hire you for?
Luke originally hired me to work under Nikki Cansey, who was his executive assistant. So mm-hmm. when I came in, I was just like, basically, whatever needs to be done, you're going to do it. So I was handling like retail. I was just doing anything that needed to be done.
Okay.
I worked my way up because I was just so, I loved music. Like even if I never got paid a dollar, I would just do it. So I was just hustling and I was in there and I learned everything. I learned how to use to engineer.
Yeah.
I learned the marketing department. I learned the retail department. This is when they still had CDs. So I learned every department. So I became so valuable to him. I went all the way up to VP at the end of the day. After everybody left, it was just me and him at one point.
So you was VP at Luke Records?
VP at Luke Records, and I was the VP at Slip and Slide.
Really? You was the VP at Slip and Slide?
Yeah. Rick Ross, Plows, Trick, Trina. If you go back and look at all those albums, you will see my name in some capacity.
Wow. So what was your involvement with those projects?
Well, with Slip and Slide, when I got over there, I started in retail again.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point where I was at with Luke. And Luke is, let me tell you something, this is one of the smartest music people who, the one thing I learned from him, and you see it in Pitbull too, and and everybody who, I call it like Luke Records was like the high school for everybody.
Okay.
Because so many different talents were there and they went off and they also became successful. But it was because of Luke, right? Luke taught us everything. Luke would sit down and say, hey, man, we're going to drop a DVD collection, right? Get that footage, edit it up, get some artwork, and we're going to put it out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we did, and that became Luke Freak Show, right?
Really? That's how that started?
That's how that got started. It got started because a woman tried to sue Luke, and we won because we filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I'm just in his office and we're just watching the videos and how entertaining it was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, if we just sold this. And Luke just came up with the idea like, yo, we could sell this. And he was like, yo, get it done. And remember, at the time, Luke Records was an independent record company. That means in the building he had over on 79th Street in Little Haiti,
yeah,
we would make music downstairs. And by the next morning, we would have it mixed, mastered, artwork, and literally shipping in a week.
Wow.
H-Town, all these guys. This man literally had what I call like a mini major. So he did everything as a major, but he was independent.
Yeah.
And that at that time was literally impossible to do facts. That because you had to deal with all the retail stores everywhere, literally around the world.
Yeah.
But he did it.
So you got a chance to be around all the business and all the insides, and it actually helped you catapult your career, right?
Exactly.
So I also saw, I was doing some due diligence, and I saw that you partnered up with Pitbull to work with Miami Subs.
I discovered Pitbull.
What?
Listen, there will be no Pitbull without me.
Hold on, man. There would be no Pitbull without you?
There would not be a Pitbull right now.
So tell us the story about that.
If Pitbull was here, and I will show you the video out of his own mouth.
Yeah, because we don't want to say cap.
Oh, no. See, with me, there's not going to be no cap. Because when I come, I bring receipts and I bring proof. And a lot of people like to talk.
Yeah.
They be running their mouth.
Yes.
But when it comes down to the facts, I will always show the facts.
Success
Pitbull,
has
out
receipts.
Of his own mouth, have said it in interviews. In his own mouth, I will show you text messages from him. And this is not to flex.
No, of course not. But
this is just facts.
Yeah.
If you ask him and say, hey, man, what part did Julian play in your career? He'll break it down to you. And I'm going to give you the very quick story.
Okay.
So I discovered him. A friend of mine, Jamie, I'll always shout out Jamie, even though I haven't talked to Jamie since this all happened.
Okay.
But he was a good friend of mine, Jamie. He introduced me to Pitt. I paged him. He came to the studio immediately. I think he rode his bicycle from, at the time, Wynwood to South Beach.
Damn.
This is how dedicated this man was.
That's dedication.
Listen, came into the booth. Now, mind you, you have to understand, this is 2000.
Okay.
Right? Kid walks in, pants hanging low, Cuban kid, but he looks white, braids in his hair, talking about, hey, man, my nigga, what's up? What's popping, bro? So I'm looking at him like, oh, man, this is going to be hard.
Because
we were so hip-hop, and at the time, the only thing Latin that was cool was like, Mellow Man, Ace, Mentirosa, and just like, it wasn't nothing, House of Pain, but
they wasn't
full Spanish.
Yeah.
So it wasn't cool then.
I didn't even know they were Spanish. I thought they was white boys.
See? And there wasn't no, it was Spanish singers, but not really heavy Spanish hip hop.
Okay.
So here comes this kid, Pitt, you know, 19, 20 years old. So I'm looking at him, we're talking and we're vibing.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, hey, man, I'm going to throw a beat on. Let me see what you got. You know, sit for a couple hours, write something.
Mm-hmm.
I throw on the beat. He's like this. I got it. I'm talking about 10, 15 minutes. He's like, I got it. I said, you sure? He's like, I got it. I throw him in the booth, hit record. Oh, man, he starts spitting.
What was the first joint?
I don't even know. It was like a freestyle.
Oh, okay.
But
he was
going
just showing
back
you.
From English to Spanish, back to English. And I'm like, and here's the greatest part where I knew he was going to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't speak Spanish, it sounded great. It was just enough
he was flowing
for me
with it.
Not to change the channel.
Yeah.
It just gave me enough for me to learn some new Spanish.
Yeah.
And for me not to change the channel. We always had that kind of 80-20 rule where he rapped. And if you notice, he'll rap more in Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, English.
English, and then he'll throw in.
And he throws in his dale and a couple more Spanish words. Just enough for you.
Yeah.
If you don't speak English, just enough for you to ride out.
No, facts.
And then another critical part, because once he started with me, I started putting him on Luke's album.
Mm-hmm.
Luke took him on the road. And don't get me wrong, Luke played a huge part where, again, Luke taught us about the business. He taught us independence, taught us not to wait for nobody. Who you waiting for? We can do it ourselves. And because we had to learn every facet of the business, because we used to have to run every department, if somebody got fired or somebody left, I was picking up the slack or other people in the office was picking up the slack. So everybody who worked there literally became entrepreneurs. You got Teach from House of Mac, right? You got Jeff Sanchez, who works for the NBA now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I can go on and on. Everybody who left did very well because Luke was just an incredible teacher.
Yeah, School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, man. All day. So, and then the other
part. Miami sub thing came together.
Now, I'm getting there. Okay. Let me get to the other part, though. A lot of people, what they don't know,
yeah,
is that I sued, me and Slip and Slide had sued TVT Records, which was the first label or second label that Pitt was signed to.
Mm-hmm.
Huge lawsuit, right? At the end of the lawsuit, we won against TVT.
Okay.
We won like $9.1 million from them.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
The guy got pissed because we won. And he bankrupt his company. That's why there is no more TVT Records. And what that did was
Donald Trump.
It freed Pitbull. It freed Little John. It freed Teacher Moses. It freed Ying Yang. Everybody was hot, but now they were free agents.
Yeah.
And then guess what comes with Pitt next? He dropped a song called Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back with Kaiocho.
Yeah.
And I remember me and Pitt driving on 395 in his car, and we're listening to Kaiocho before it came out, and I was like, yo, this song right here is a smash. And he's like, you think so? It's like a remix. And I'm like, no, kid, this is a smash. I tried to get that record. I'm like, yo, if you're not doing anything with that record, I need it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, this company called Ultra has it, and I'm going to start working it. So they start working it, blows up. Then he goes back to Brian Leach, who actually signed him at TVT Records. Brian had a new situation at, I want to say, Sony or RCA.
Okay.
And he signs Pitt again. But now Pitt's a free agent. He's super hot. And then he becomes Mr. Worldwide. So when you ask a question like, hey, what did you do for Pitt? Now we can get to Miami Sub. So now,
yes.
Through our relationship over the years.
Mm-hmm. Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer? And you got a story to tell, you want to get your brand out there to the world, well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you, I Talk Gray, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here what you do, go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon.
Let me tell you something about this guy, Pitbull, Armando Perez, one of the most loyal people I have ever met in my life. Even during the lawsuit, when everything was against him,
mm-hmm,
because of me and what we was going on with the case.
Yeah.
That man never snitched. The TVT Records wanted him to say, oh, he wasn't working with me. They tried to subpoena him.
Wow.
That man said, yo, you want me to betray the guy who put me on, who gave me my first shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all can go fuck yourselves.
Respectfully.
And respectfully.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. So, man, he's one of the I have this list of people who can call me. You don't have to explain nothing. Hey, I need you to come in the car at 3:00 in the morning. We got to go handle some business. You're not going to want to know what it is, but we got to go do it. I'm with you, bro. I don't care if it risks my life. I don't care if it risks jail time. You're one of the guys that you don't have to ask me. It's done.
Yeah, facts.
Because he's just a solid guy, man, in and out.
So is that why you joint with him with the Miami Subs venture?
Yeah, well, I ran into my partner, DJ, into one of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down with the owners for a meeting, and I'm like, they were talking about rebranding and everything else for Miami Subs. And I said, guys, you know what? The best thing in the world to do is to get a celebrity to help push the brand, right? And what better person for Miami Subs or Miami Grill now.
Yeah,
Pitbull, Mr. Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a funny quick. I'm just going to do this real quick. So the owner, and he just passed away, Richie, he was in the meeting, and he was like, he's looking at me, and he's like, well, I get what you're saying, and I have this whole speech about Pitt. I'm like, hey, Pitbull can do this, Pitbull can do that. And he's like, why would I have a dog represent the company? And I'm like, Richie, you're too old, bro. I said, go home. Talk to your kids about Pitbull and then come back. So the next day, we go and meet again.
Yeah.
And he's like, Julian, call my phone. I call his phone. It's Pitbull ringtone. He's like, oh, I know who he is now. So now he's all excited. So he's like, I definitely want to do this deal.
Okay.
So I go to Pitt. I mention it to him. He's like, I love it. Let's do it. And ever since they've been together, they've been working. And now Pitbull has more restaurants because he got his feet wet into it, starting with that.
So oh, wow.
I want to say he has a restaurant in DR And he partnered up with the guy who owns Sugar Factory.
Okay.
And I'm super pissed. I can't remember his name, but shout out to him. And they opened up a few restaurants, too, on the beach.
So what kind of deal was it? Can you talk about it? Or?
No, just an equity deal.
Okay.
Everything we do now, for the most part, I always look for equity. Because the thing that these companies do is that they dangle the money in front of you.
Okay. And dangle the carrot.
Exactly. And us as black folks especially, we're so quick to snatch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, I want $1 million? Let me get it.
Yeah.
Instead of, give me $100,000, but let me get, you know, 10% of the company. If I'm going to put this company on my back, give me some equity because I'm going to bet on myself. So when you hear those conversations from other people, I was just watching Kevin Hart and Mark Cuban, and they were talking about how they messed up on Uber.
Yeah.
It's those type of situations that's why I'm like, I love equity. If we're going to be in this company, like if we're going to go hard, a check is cool. But man, if I can be in it to win it all the way, I don't all mind the doing the work for 5 or 10 years and it becoming a $1 billion company.
Facts.
That's just more, it just makes more sense for me.
No, of course. So what's your involvement with Love & Hip Hop?
Oh, so Love & Hip Hop started. Again, with I'm not saying with me, because Love & Hip Hop was a franchise.
Okay.
But the Miami
Love
version. Okay. I was talking to Mona Scott. Literally, the story is, I was watching Keisha Cole. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Keisha Cole has her own show. And Keisha Cole personality is a lot like Trina's, right? Mm. They still got that, you know, that Trina attitude.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, why doesn't Trina have her own show? That's how this whole thing started. So I hit up Mona, and I'm like, yo, Trina should have her own show. And she was like, that's actually a great idea. So we do contract and everything, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going back and forth, and it was about a year that went by, and Mona was like, listen, we're kind of in development hell because there's just not enough characters that are going to make sense for the show. But here's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned it before, but she always says no. If you can get Trina to do the show, I want to put Miami on. So I said, okay. And then that way I can just pretty much get everybody you've either work with or you have worked with. So that's Trick Daddy, Pleasure P, everybody. So I said, it's easy. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So they came down. And that's why the first season I was managing about 80% of the cast because everything was basically through me.
Okay.
So I was working with Trina at the time. Trick Daddy was an easy phone call. I brought Pleasure P on. Pleasure P brought on Shay and Pretty Ricky.
Okay.
And then like everybody else, either we were working together or I knew them and then they scouted a few more people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how really the whole show started. So I make my appearance here and there. Hey, man, it's a drama. So, you know, when you're wrapped around drama, the good and the bad just comes with it.
No, of course. Okay, so you've been consistent, as it's been shown here, right? So what keeps you building?
Because I haven't gotten where I'm going to get. I'm trying to build an entertainment company, especially for Miami and Florida and really everywhere, but especially for hometown. Because right now, if you're an artist, where do you go? Who can you call? Which label here in Miami that you can get in contact with? Have you ever tried to get in contact with any of the big players here in Miami? It's extremely difficult. They're not going to pay you no mind because all the executives are very well off. Like you really would have to have somebody special to walk you in. So there's a lot of artists, like my new kid right now, Young Wildin.
Yeah, his single is
buzzing. Who has a hot record.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't have a team. So I'm able to come in now and give him structure and give him advice and manage him to make sure he turns into a superstar without him having to sell his soul. For him to be able to move around and get the kind of deal that he wants. And I explained to him and his team that it's going to be extremely hard, but now you have somebody who's opened up so many more doors for you because now you have powerful distribution. Now you have a powerful team. The same guys who work Drake's single is the same people that are going to be working your single. Now you have a squad.
Who are you working with distribution?
I have a deal. Well, I have several deals, but I have a great deal with Empire. I have a great deal with Orchard, which is owned by Sony. Bad Bunny's over there. Pitbull's over there. And then I have a couple other deals, Universal. Like, I literally have a deal with all of the majors because I wanted to get to see their systems and see who I like the best.
Yeah. But his joint is bubbling. I'm not even going to lie. But I'm trying to figure out, how didn't his name get attached to the song? Because I knew the song. I just didn't know who it was.
So here's what happens when building an artist.
Uh-huh.
You're probably going to hear the song first.
Okay.
It's my job and the team's job now, and his job, to start attaching him to it.
Mm.
So now that we've had this conversation, within a month to 2 months' time, even though you know who it is now,
yeah,
your Instagram, his all of our Instagrams, you're eventually going to keep seeing him, but now you're going to keep seeing his name everywhere.
Yeah.
When you see the video hit BET and MTV and Revolt and all these other places, you're going to keep seeing him. You're going to see people now posting him. You're going to see interviews as we're on right now. So eventually the name always will catch up. And we have a great team now that's going to start creating incredible content around him, because the greatest part about the industry now is that everything is in social media and it's in your phone.
No, facts.
And you can build a fan base literally on your phone. It just takes work and creativity.
Yeah.
So after a while, once you start seeing this and that and you keep hearing him in the club and the DJs are shouting him out and all of this, eventually people will be like, oh, that's Young Wallet.
Yeah.
And then you hear the next single and then the next single and the next video. And after a while, now you know. You'll know by just hearing his voice.
Yeah. Do you think artists need a manager nowadays, since social media is so popular?
Yes. Managers need an incredible team, because you cannot do this by yourself. I hate when people say, I did this all myself.
I'm self-made.
That is impossible, bro.
Yeah.
It is impossible. Now, you may have gotten up every morning, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you go bust your ass every day. That you did. But no one can do it themselves. You have to have a team. And where artists go wrong is that they think they need a manager off rip. As soon as they go to the studio, cut a record, hey, man, I need a manager. What am I managing? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
You want me to do all the work?
Yeah, facts.
No, my friend. I can manage if you give me something.
Yeah.
So with Young Wallen, he was able to generate this buzz that he's...
So he already did that before he started working with you.
Yeah, the record started moving as it was, right? Because he was pushing it. And now I'm able to come in now and throw gasoline on it. Because now he has a bigger distribution outlet. Now he has a team. Now we go to New York and we sit down with the staff. And he can walk into Tidal. And he can walk into all these places now because of me.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, the structure that I'm working with every artist, I can work out deals way better than anybody else can. Many managers, you call them up and you're like, hey, man, I need you to come and ride this ride with me.
Yeah.
Most managers are going to be like, ah.
But are you trying to be like all in the camera?
Oh, I'm going to be in the camera.
All in the video.
All in the video.
Coming down for.
But.
He said, I'm going to be in the video.
I'm a mixture of Suge and Diddy. I know when to step to the side. But let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because of situations, I'm not going to say who, but because of situations in my past, the one thing I've learned over the years is that you are a brand now.
Okay.
Julian Booth is a brand. Fast Life is a brand.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep building my brand regardless of who wants to say what. At the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding, and the proof is what you're working on. Is it hot or not? Right? So every time I get involved with somebody, 9 out of 10 times it works. I'm not saying everything I do works.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go bust my ass, drive 3 hours, drive 4 hours, fly to New York, whatever needs to be done. You are never going to outwork me. And you're never going to sacrifice more than what I will sacrifice.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell? You want to get your brand out there to the world? Well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you, I Talk Gray, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. So what would be a major benefit for an artist to have you as their manager?
Because now everything is going to be expedited a lot faster. You could never talk to Tidal. Now you're talking to them. You can't talk to Spotify. Now you can talk to them. Do you want to go up to the Breakfast Club? We can go. Right?
Okay, you got juice like that?
My brother, I've been doing... And you see, the reason why I have to get in front of the camera is because of that. Because you should already know and not have to Google.
Yeah.
So when I'm working on my brand, it's to let you know and to let everybody know more about me and what it is. Because I'm the go-to guy for artists that are trying to figure it out.
Okay.
I'm that guy, and I'm the only guy, I'm not going to say the only guy, but I'm one of those guys that an artist can slide in my DM and ask me a question. And I'll give you a couple hints here and there on what to do. I can't work with everybody.
No, of course.
But I'll definitely give you advice.
Do you think you're able to move a little bit more diligently behind the scenes, or has that not worked?
Has not worked because if somebody bigger than me that has a bigger voice on social media, they can say whatever they want about you. And because your voice is so small, everybody will believe.
Okay.
We live in a world now where perception is reality. So if I post myself in front of a Bentley, you're going to believe that that Bentley is mine. Even if I came to here and I said, I don't really got that Bentley, bro. You
will
look at me
don't.
And be like, boy, you lying. Where that Bentley at?
You went on Toro.
Because you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my friends sent me a picture today of LeBron James in a pink tutu. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that picture's not real. He's like, nah, that's real, bro. And I'm like, nah, AI. That's AI.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But it's because that's what you want to believe.
Yeah.
So you have to build your brand now because in case... You know, I work in the music industry, so in case someone says something about me, I want to be able to speak up and say, well, you're wrong.
No, facts.
And my voice has to be big enough to scream as loud as yours.
Yes.
Not that that's my motive, but in case I have any words.
No, of course.
And because I am in the spotlight, I ain't saying I'm also a big celebrity, but people know who I am, and the more they search and they Google, they start to see like, oh, you've really been a part of Miami history. Like, you found these guys.
Yeah.
Like, I know where all the bodies are buried. I've done this as long as everybody else has, and I got stories for days.
Yeah, yeah.
On every song, every hit song that has ever been done that has come out of Miami, there's a story behind it, and I know it. And the more people you talk to, either they're going to say, I love them or I hate them. But the ones that say hate, there's not really a reason.
Yeah.
It's just what they hear or what the show shows them.
Well, so you need to hate us.
If it's just me alone and it's just like, yo, you want to talk, what did I do to you specifically?
The facts.
They're going to not have anything to say. They're going to be like, I heard. Oh, so Julian didn't do anything to you personally.
Yeah.
It's just either jealousy. But why are you jealous of me? Why are you jealous of me?
And because that inner I can hate do is what real.
You, there you go.
Yeah.
Because you can't do what I do.
Facts.
So a lot of times people just get jealous, and crazy enough, it be the people right around you.
Oh yeah, it be the right next under your armpit. You know, it
hurts
used to
my
be
heart,
my
bro.
Dog. You was in my left titty. You know. So what's next for you?
What's next, man? Is Young Wallen. He is my number one priority.
Okay.
Good energy is moving up. We're going to radio.
Yeah, I saw Halle Berry, used it, man. That was
man.
Big.
You got Halle Berry. You got Dez, who's Waka Flocka's mom, posted it. You got Ellen from, she's the lead actress in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah,
she posted it. You got Snoop Dogg. Shout out to him. Who else posted it? Missy Elliott.
Yeah, I saw that,
posted
too,
it for
man.
Her birthday. Shout out to Missy. And just tons of others, man.
Yeah,
I don't want to miss anybody.
Up.
But
now, you hear it on the radio. I heard it on 99 Jams. I've been
going.
Hearing it. BB Sundays.
And now we're taking it national, and even more importantly now, he's able to take it international, and that's part that I play.
That's dope.
Because I'm able to give him more muscle now.
Yeah, the Afrobeat movement is real big,
oh,
man.
It's
we got to get him in there. We got to get him in here, man. You know
no,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
No, he's coming next, man, because, you know, when you feel his energy. And let me tell you something. In a world where hypersexuality, a world where negative vibes is what works,
yeah.
I fucked your chick. I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Yeah.
I make more money than you. Look at all my jewelry.
Yeah.
I'm dope. You're whack. all of that, you know, I want to do this to you. I want to hit it from the back. Like, everything is to a point negative. And don't get me wrong, because I put out that music too. So I don't want to be a hypocrite.
I was just about to say, I'm in the club too. You like, said yeah, you did with Plies.
Shoot that nigga in the face. Like, I'm all with that. I am. So it's refreshing
to have a new artist. Yes. And he's young too.
He's a 24-year-old kid.
Yes,
yeah, and he is promoting such positivity.
Yeah.
And all of his music. And just him as a person. He's just a great kid. And I'm going to open up the world for him, man. He is the next superstar. I'm going to say it on your show first. The next superstar to Miami now. People will be like, well, who are you to say that? All right. I'm the guy, again, Trick, Trina, Plies, Rick Ross, Amara La Negra.
Hey,
any of these people you asked them from the beginning.
Yeah.
Outside of Trick, because Trick I met after like his second album. Everybody else from Jump. Day one, they saw me.
Yeah.
I was in your studio session. I was coming up with marketing plans. The funny thing is, they don't even know how much I did for them. Because, again, I was in the back. That's why I'm not doing that back no more.
I feel you. Okay, so
you're going to see my face. So, yeah, I'm going to dance all in your video, and I'm going to be right next to you because they need to know who I am, too.
Yo, that's so dope, brother. Man, this has been so good. It was so dope to get you to come through, man. We got to get Young Wildin next. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. For sure.
Let everybody know where they can find you at.
Easy, man. All my social media platform is Julian Booth. That's JULLIANBOOTHE on all platforms. Let me do my quick shout out. So you have Young Wildin, Good Energy. I have a new dope artist. Her name is Saint Bodie.
Okay.
She just finished writing for Marvel.
That's major.
She's a musician, but she writes comics too.
Okay.
But Marvel comics, this ain't no play. Like, she just dropped one for the Spider-Verse. She's gonna be dropping literally in about 2 or 3 months. But let me tell you, she's amazing. I'm gonna send you her stuff, and she is something next level. She actually has a song in the movie Joyride, the Asian movie. That's out now. She had a song in that in the commercials, in the trailer. So she's very active. She writes for everybody, like everybody. So she's super dope. And then let me just go through the rest of my roster. My man Quote, who's been with me from like day one, he always has some new stuff coming out. He has a record out actually now, Slow Grind. That's super dope. Pleasure P with RSVP. That's my brother. Make sure I'm not forgetting nobody. And everybody else is either working on their stuff or I'm always looking for new talent.
Okay.
And I'm getting more into the movie stuff too, because the other movie my partner just shot, A Haitian Wedding, and I am working on a spinoff reality show with me called Fast Life.
Okay.
My man Rich Black is producing it. And basically it's going to be like the dark side of the music industry. It's reality show, but it's going to be shot very movie-like. And it's going to be, what's going to be funny about it is that you're not going to know what's real or what's scripted. It's going to be very much on the line because you're going to see similar stuff.
Yeah.
And it's going to be with real people, but scenarios might not be real. But it's definitely going to be entertaining, and it's going to really show you what it really takes to make it in the industry and the things that you really have to do.
Yeah.
So people can really see the behind. When you see people having interviews and they're talking about like the dark side of the industry.
Yeah.
I'm going to show it to you.
Okay. Well, before you go, give us some tips for artists. Like, give us like 3 tips that you think an artist should use, especially if he's now trying to come into the game.
Well, number one, if you're not willing to sacrifice everything, you shouldn't do this. Go get a job. Find another career. This is not for you. Because most people think that it's easy, but this is a sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice something. I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's made it. If you catch sometimes Cardi B when she's going through it, and she says, man, sometimes life was better when I was broke.
Yeah.
It's those moments.
Yeah.
Because somebody said it. I'm not going to take the credit for it, but they said, when you're wishing for success, you have to wish that you're able to handle what comes with success.
I think 50 was saying something like that.
So back to your question. One is social media. That's the number one thing, because now And I have this conversation with artists established and not. Mm-hmm. And they hate when I say this, but I'm like, hey, man, you got to boost up your social media. Like,
it's, you got to post.
It's not working, and it's a job.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job for social media because you have to create content for your Twitter, for your Threads, for your Instagram,
Facebook, TikTok,
Facebook, everything.
Yeah.
And you have to do it consistently, and it might take you a year to build a big enough following. Mm-hmm. Just so you can break your record. But that is the gift now of the internet, is where you can control your fans. And Nikki said it perfect. She said, we live in an age now where it's not about talent. It's just how popular you are.
No, that's big facts. So unfortunately.
If you're a dope artist and you can do the work as an influencer, you will win because everybody else honestly is too lazy.
No, facts.
The game is easy and hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy because now you have all the tools. It's hard because you got to do it.
Yeah, man. So, brother, it's been dope to have you come through, man. We definitely
I appreciate it, my brother, for having me.
Of course, man. Y'all already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. I Talk Great, and we out of here.
Yeah.